it's Monday, August the 17th, and we're back with Israel in 10, the Misgav Daily Brief. Thank you for joining me. I'm Laura Sellier in Tel Aviv. President Trump has hailed a new defence pact between Pakistan, Saudi Arabia and Turkey. The Mecca agreement that was signed last week commits the three countries to mutual defence. Trump says it shows the Middle East is coming together and becoming better able to defend itself. Pakistan's Prime Minister welcomed the comments, saying Islamabad intends to play a constructive role in the region. Israel and Trump had hoped Riyadh would join the Abraham Accords, but instead Saudi Arabia appears to be moving in a very different direction. I'll discuss that with Pakistan-based journalist and TV host Ahmed Qureshi in just a few moments, but first, the latest headlines. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is due to meet Jared Kushner today as Washington steps up efforts to advance its Gaza peace plan. Kushner held rare talks with senior Hamas officials in Cairo on Sunday, alongside Trump's Gaza envoy Nikolai Mladenov. The US proposal calls for Hamas to disarm in exchange for a phased Israeli withdrawal. Netanyahu has rejected the plan, while Hamas says Israel must make the first move and withdraw. Iran used negotiations with the United States to prepare for a wider regional war. That's according to the Wall Street Journal. Iranian commanders reportedly drew up plans, including strikes on Gulf energy targets and undersea cables, while also stepping up coordination with proxies across the region. Tehran increasingly believes a larger war with the United States and Israel may still be on the cards. Members of Israel's ruling political party Likud are voting today in a closely watched primary ahead of the elections in October. Around 140,000 members are eligible to vote, with polls suggesting Likud could fall from 32 seats to around between 22 and 24. The contest is especially fierce after rule changes gave Prime Minister Netanyahu greater control over the party slate. Israel's consul general in New York has blamed Mayor Zoran Mamdani for fueling anti-Semitic incitement following an attack at Manhattan's Central Synagogue. Police arrested a Bronx man accused of assaulting a woman and a security guard during Friday night services. Ophir Akunis said condemnations were no longer enough and called for action instead. And Israel and Honduras have signed a new agreement to deepen defence ties. Defence Minister Israel Katz and his Honduran counterpart signed the memorandum on Sunday after talks on shared security challenges and military cooperation. Honduras and Israel already share close ties, with Honduras moving its embassy to Jerusalem back in 2021. Before today's conversation, a quick reminder, you can sponsor Israel in 10. Just drop us a line at misgavdailybrief@gmail.com. Now here's Ahmed Qureshi. Does the Mecca Pact validate Israel's concerns that there is this rising hostile Sunni alliance?
Yeah, I don't think so, Laura. I think there's a lot of exaggerated analyses and hypotheses and whatnot about this. And I think it's people are going in different directions. And it's natural, obviously, because these are three countries, all three of them have issues and problems in their own geostrategic sphere. So Turkey has problems with Israel, with Cyprus, with Greece. Pakistan has problems with India. Saudi Arabia has with Iran, with the Houthis in Yemen and whatnot, with the UAE and then the other issues. So, you know, everybody is taking this development in different directions. But I think we're getting ahead ourselves. It's in the early stages. I think it's really focused on Iran. And I don't see this Mecca pact taking place in Ankara or in Islamabad. It took place in Saudi Arabia for a reason, and that is Iran. So we need to be focused on that.
President Trump welcomed it this morning. Pakistan's prime minister says his country is ready to play a constructive role in the region. Now, Pakistan is pretty chaotic at home, I think it's fair to say. So how can it bring stability to the region?
It has always been chaotic, Laura. It's nothing new. A lot of people actually, unfortunately, because of this whole story of Pakistan hosting and brokering, you know, peace or talks or whatever you want to call it between the U.S. and Iran, a lot of the people actually were surprised, and rightly so, because Pakistan never overtly or publicly played a role. But Pakistan actually has been intrinsic to security arrangements in the Middle East for the past 50 years. Don't forget that it was Pakistani forces actually that helped the Jordanian monarchy stamp out the PLO rebellion back in September 1970. In Jordan, there was a whole brigade of Pakistan army that joined the Jordanian army in stamping out the Fidayeen who tried to overthrow the government of King Hussein at that time and the Hashemite royal family. Also, Pakistan has been part of the Saudi and the Gulf security alliances. Pakistan has always been part of U.S. Led security arrangements in the region, whether they're related to Egypt or the Gulf states or the Gulf waters and the Yemen waters. Even now, Pakistani Navy is actually part of the 5th Fleet based in Bahrain, which joins the U.S. Navy and other allies, obviously, other coalition members in the region, in securing the Gulf and the Gulf of Aden and the Gulf of Oman and whatnot, and the Arabian Sea. So Pakistan has always been part of, and a lot of people don't know this, Pakistan has also been for the last 20 years mediating between the U.S. and Iran secretly, quietly. If you go and Google the WikiLeaks cables from the U.S. embassy, you'll find a lot of cables of Pakistan doing this quiet sort of go-between role between Iran and the U.S. So it's all new for a lot of people. A lot of people are surprised. How can Pakistan actually, which is so messy and chaotic in its own neighborhood, its own internal politics, can actually play any role? Well, the fact is, Pakistan has been playing a role, actually, with the Saudis, with the Americans, in security arrangements of the region for the past 40, 50 years. It's nothing new. The only thing new this time is Pakistan is doing it publicly.
What people are concerned about here in Israel is the role of Turkey, because President Erdogan has been extremely hostile towards Israel over the past few years. Pakistan also are very hostile to Israel. And now you've got Saudi Arabia, a country, you know, many in Israel were hoping would normalize ties at some point. So that is where the concern comes from.
And I have to address the hostile part, Laura. Turkey has diplomatic ties with Israel. So it's the first country in the Muslim world that actually established diplomatic ties with Israel. Saudi Arabia...
Since Erdogan came to power, it has been extremely hostile.
That is a problem. Mm. Yes, exactly. Erdogan, you have bad relations between Turkey and Israel. Pakistan, I won't call it hostile. Pakistan is open, actually. Pakistan actually did a lot of off and on record contacts between Pakistan and Israel. Yes, it does not have diplomatic ties. In recent, maybe 2-3 years, we've seen some statements from, you know, here and there. But, you know, I wouldn't really say Saudi Arabia and Pakistan are really hostile per se. But yes, President Erdogan's government and Israel have lots of problems in recent years and currently in the Mediterranean. But all three are really part of security arrangements in the region, Laura, led by the U.S. So they are allied with the United States. I see political issues, maybe. But I don't see hostility per se. Let's not forget that this region has a history of trying to create blocs that never last. Just 11 years ago, we had Saudi Arabia actually leading an Islamic coalition, anti-terror coalition of, I don't know, 30 or 40 countries. It has a secretariat right now in Riyadh. It's still in the phase of sort of, you know, building a secretariat. It's 11 years. We don't see it anywhere. It actually was created to fight exactly the kind of proxies that Iran runs, like Houthis, Hezbollah, and the Iraqi militias. It's a formidable project, and I know it's underway. So we're yet to see what happens with this, but I'm very focused, actually, Laura. I don't see this really going left and right and north and south. I see this as an Iran focus. I see this basically America's traditional allies in the region, the Arab Muslim allies, who actually were playing no role in containing Iran. It was the U.S. and Israel that took the lead to contain Iran last year in June. My interpretation of this whole Mecca Pact is the Arab Muslim allies of the United States, who were just watching on the sidelines, are stepping up to contain Iran.
Perhaps those countries have made a calculation that it's too politically too difficult to ally with Israel right now, as they were doing prior to October 7th. So they're looking at more creative ways to counter Iran. Would you say that's fair?
It is fair, and I find it strange. The one country which has played the biggest role in containing Iran, which is Israel, needs to be part of any arrangement in the region to counter or contain Iran and the Iranian proxies. So it does not make sense. The regional security system that we should have seen coming out of this post-Iran war is a system that brings together the United States, Israel, and modern Arab and Muslim states to secure the region, to move forward, to for economic integration, and to do everything that Hamas and Iran tried to foil on October 7th. It's unfortunate that right now, major Arab Muslim states right now in the region feel they can't move forward with that vision. And it's unfortunate that Iran actually partially succeeded in stopping this vision from realizing this is basically an Iran-focused project. I don't see this really going anywhere except tackling the problem at hand, which is Iran.
That's it. That's your Israel in 10. Thanks for watching or listening, and I'll be back with you tomorrow. Goodbye.